You know what,
brethren, as you know,
we need a shelf up here.
Here in the Tacoma area, we've been looking for a new facility for quite a while. It was the first week of January when we started looking seriously for a new place to worship on the Sabbath days. And between 1st of January and now, several of us have been looking pretty diligently. And we've looked over that time at hotels and conference centers and libraries and boys and girls clubs, empty storefronts, union halls, community centers, other schools, senior citizen centers, lodges like Elks and American Legion halls, churches for sale, a Jewish center, the city and county parks and recreational facilities. We've been looking around quite a bit. I've looked at, I've had three different real estate companies and agents helping us to find a place, and we've just been looking diligently. I want to thank you all for your prayers in this regard. And one of the things we prayed for is that there would be an evidence of a closed door if, in fact, the door was closed, because I think that's very positive. It helps us to not waste our time and focus somewhere else instead. And so we had a lot of answered prayers with closed doors. But one of the prayers was that we would also know where there would be an open door. And we began to see that. And from the very first time that we approached this particular place, we were able to know that that door was open a little bit. And so then I went back again, and the door opened further. And then a couple of us went, and the door opened a little bit more. And then we began to meet with more of their people, and the door seemed to be pushed wide open. And one of the questions that came, as we were then at the point where they were already in agreement that they would be willing to lease to us, and you never know for sure till it's all settled, but one of the questions that came was this: why do you go to church on Saturday instead of Sunday? And there we were, standing in the lobby of their church and answering this question. And I thought to myself, what a great question, and how will I answer it? So I just spoke to them and said, we believe that God created this. God told us to worship on the seventh day. And that we see in the scriptures that Christ and his disciples worshiped then too. And we just want to follow that example. But we don't judge people who worship on other days. And for them, that was completely satisfying. And the next statement was, that's wonderful that you go to church on Saturday. Because they've been wanting to find a way to use their building more frequently during the month. And they had been approached by other churches who wanted to lease from them, but those churches worshiped on Sunday as they do. And here we were, worshiping on Saturday, and to them it was a wonderful thing. And I said, we think so too. We really do. But it was interesting to me because that question comes up a lot more often than we may realize in different contexts. I've often dealt with brand new people who are just learning God's truth, and often it's the subject of the Sabbath that attracts them and convicts them about this way of life and helps them to begin to come on to the journey that we are on ourselves. And we found that door opened because the answer seemed to them satisfactory. It was not in conflict with what they were looking at the time. And yet we could be wise as serpents and harmless as doves and tell them truthfully what we believe. And yet there's more. You know that, don't you? And so I was thinking since then, what more is there? How shall we answer that question and really find the answers in the scriptures? And to me, there's very clear evidence in the scripture about why we keep the Sabbath day holy. And it's so positive, and it's so absolutely clear when you look at it. I wanted to help you to be able to answer that question for yourself, especially if you're young or newer and you're still struggling with the Sabbath day. But for all of us who will one day be asked that question by friends or relatives or employers or teachers, why do you go to church on Saturday? So this obviously the Sabbath is a very big subject and one that we could go in many, many different directions. And it's probably one of the two most controversial commandments in the Bible. The other one might be the first commandment, to have no other God before God. And there's a lot of difficulty with that one in the world. But in the world, there's also a lot of difficulty with the Sabbath, to keep the Sabbath day holy. So let's find the answers in the scriptures. And so as I was preparing, I titled the sermon, Three Reasons to Keep the Sabbath Day Holy. And then I found another one. So you got to scratch it out like I did and put four reasons to keep the Sabbath day holy. And these are all very positive and right from the scriptures. Let's turn to the place where the Ten Commandments are listed. And in your notes or in your mind as you're thinking and trying to figure out where we're going with this, think, where would you look in the scripture to find the answer to that question? Why do we go to church on Saturday? And so let's look and find the evidence of that. In Exodus 20, where the Ten Commandments are given, and if you remember, the Ten Commandments were not mediated. They weren't given to Moses and then to the people. The people heard God's voice, and God wrote these words directly with his own finger. And so these are the words of God, and in those words, he tells us why we should keep the Sabbath day holy. In Exodus 20 and verse 8, we see the context here in the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And there's a lot there even. And I was talking this morning in Olympia about how I can read a verse and sometimes my mind starts thinking and I get digressed in different points. We're going to have a speakers meeting after church today and I'm going to help the guys to do what I'm trying to do now is to stay on point. But there's so much in these verses that we'll read and a lot of study that we could look into ourselves, and I hope you will. But look what it says as we get down to the reason in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the first of the big reasons why we keep the Sabbath day holy is because God created this world, this universe, and put us on it. God is our creator. And that's why we keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath helps us to look back to see that and to remember that. And to me, that's one of the most exciting elements of the Sabbath day. It says directly, for in 6 days. This because we are to keep the Sabbath because in 6 days God created the world. Now, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see this. Those words are like an invitation to turn back and read the original words. As the Bible opens in Genesis 1, we see this creation listed here. And the whole chapter, the first chapter, is about those 6 days in which he created life on this earth and put man and woman here. And he saw everything that he had created, and behold, it was very good. And then in chapter 2 of Genesis, we see the Sabbath is also part of the creation. Remember in Matthew, it says, so the Sabbath was made for man. The Sabbath is also part of the creation. And God created this day holy after the 6 days that he had worked on. In Genesis 2 and verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, And so now we have the evidence of which day it is, again. God ended his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. And then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. And so it is this seventh day that is blessed and sanctified, and the one that is commanded that we are to keep. And we look back then and see that creation, and we see the reasons begin to open up to us about why God created this earth and put mankind upon it. So the Sabbath commandment focuses our attention on that week, even on those 6 days when God worked. And he says to us, we are to work for 6 days and then rest on the seventh. So this aspect of the fourth commandment, it continues to hold great importance to us. You can see all through the scriptures the evidence of God is referred to as our creator in so many ways and so many instances, probably hundreds if we looked at it. In John chapter 1, we begin to see that this is so vitally important now. And this ties in with why we keep the Sabbath day on the seventh day of the week. In John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and it takes us right back to the creation. It focuses our attention there on the reason given in Exodus 20 for us to keep the Sabbath day holy. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we begin to see him in that way. And it takes it further. And for us, whose minds have been enlightened and God's word is now open to us through his Spirit, we can see more than just that he created. We can see the reason for his creation and placing us here. For instance, in verse 10, and we'll look at a few verses. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. In verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he came into this creation himself. He entered time and space to be a person as we are. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He became one of us. And something very awesome was being accomplished in the work that he was doing then. In verse 12, we begin to see a glimpse of this. But as many as received him, as many as received our Creator who was now made to be like us, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so we see that we who are born into this human family, we can be born into God's family through his will. And it all goes back to the creation, doesn't it? It goes back to that seventh day when God rested from his labors and began his relationship with Adam and Eve together. Of course, it began on the sixth day when Adam was there and named the animals, but God was using this time to build that relationship with his future family. Something very awesome there, that you and I have that wonderful opportunity to become his children. In Colossians 1, I like the way some of these verses just bring it right to the point that it is Jesus Christ who created us. In Colossians 1, beginning in verse 12, we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Back in the first chapter of John, it speaks about Christ who was the light of the world. And often, and you'll see this as the sermon develops, there's a contrast between light and dark, and you see it in this context quite often. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible, invisible, and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And as we pause every Sabbath day and remember and reflect on the fact that we keep the Sabbath holy because we look back to that creation time and we see the work that God began to do then, a work that would bring ultimately his family into eternal existence. It's a great and awesome thing that we can see. Notice something in the book of Ephesians, and it's quite a bit more subtle, but I know that you'll be able to get this. In Ephesians chapter 3, if we see this in the context of creation and of the Sabbath commandment, look what we find in Ephesians 3, verse 8 through 11. Paul is saying, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. In the first message we heard about Christ in you, the hope of glory. There is that unsearchable richness of Christ that is there for us to understand and to grasp and embrace. And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. And again, how closely we relate back to the beginning of that great work of bringing a family into existence, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And part of our responsibility as a church then is to teach the things that we have been taught. As Christ admonished his disciples to go into all the world and preach to them and teach them to obey all the commandments that he had given to us. That's part of our job now, to teach even the keeping of the Sabbath day, to answer those people who ask, why do we keep the Sabbath? Because our Creator began to develop what would ultimately become his eternal family. Verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. There's a great work that is being worked out below, as many of us have heard over the decades. And that work is that Jesus Christ is helping to bring many sons to glory. That God, our Father, is through Christ doing that. In so many other places in the scripture, we find the evidence of the creation being the reason for what God is doing in our lives, the purpose for which God made man and in his own image and revealed to us the truths of his way. We could read in Job in 38, 39, and 40, where God is speaking to one of the wisest men who lived at that time, and it says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? You know, and God is so great, and we need him more than we ever realize sometimes, for every breath, every thought, every care, and for our future. We could read in Psalm 8 where David just looked up to the heavens and said, what is man that you are mindful of him? And we will read that in a bit in Hebrews where it's rehearsed again. And we could read in Psalm 19 where the heavens declare the glory of God. These are all ways, brethren, that we can look around us on the Sabbath day and enjoy the day. We can look and say, look what God has created. The beauty around us in this world and in the heavens and so many wonderful and beautiful things in the creation. We need to stop and smell the peonies. We need to be able to appreciate the creation that God has given to us. A dear friend of mine told me I should stop once in a while in my messages and tell a story. And so this is a story for Lynn about the creation. Lynn likes stories. So there I was on a hunting trip on the Sabbath day. And I was with another friend who was a minister as well. And we spent the morning in our little hunting cabin, diligently studying and praying and looking out into this beautiful, beautiful creation and wishing we could be out there. But it was the Sabbath, and we were 4 hours away from the nearest place to go to church. And we were just going to have a quiet Sabbath together. And about noon, we get cabin fever. We can't just stay in the cabin all day. And so we decided to take a drive, and we talked this over. And there was a highway that divided the north and the south. And on the north was the area where we could legally hunt. And we decided if we were to drive in that area, it would be breaking the Sabbath because it would be like scouting. And we didn't want to break the Sabbath. So we said, let's go driving on the south side of the highway. And then we're just sightseeing. And so we spent an afternoon driving. We drove about 200 miles through the backwoods of Montana. And we saw more than 2,000 deer. It was so awesome. And then it was like right as the Sabbath is ending, a full moon rises over the cliffs, and just at the perfect moment, a very big mule deer buck steps right into the disk of the moon, and he's perfectly silhouetted there in this full moon rising over the cliff. That's my Sabbath story, Len. No. I appreciate the creation. So, and because Lynn needs something to help him stay awake. So that was number one. The reason we keep the Sabbath day is we look, as God said, we look back to creation. And those words are so meaningful that they're embedded right in the commandment itself. So what is the next big reason we would keep the Sabbath day? Let's look at the next time Moses wrote the list of the Ten Commandments. About 39 or so, not quite 40 years later, in Deuteronomy 5, Moses was inspired to write all of the Ten Commandments again. Before you read it, can you remember this time it's different? Why did he say we should keep the Sabbath day? This is a really important point and helps us to know more about God and how it is that he wants us to worship him. So let's look in Deuteronomy 5, beginning in verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. And again, he tells us what to do and how to do it in verse 13 and verse 14. But then he gets to verse 15 and gives us the reason that we are to keep the Sabbath. And again, it's right here in the commandment. Verse 15, and remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. See, now we're not looking back all the way to the creation, but they were looking at what happened in their lifetime. They were looking at what God did for them when they were young. And that the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm, and therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. So that's reason number two. We keep the Sabbath day because we realize and remember that God has redeemed us. And this example of his redemption of Israel is one of the most often rehearsed stories in the scriptures. We find it all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, and it's a very powerful instruction for us on keeping the Sabbath day. But it also applies to us as individuals. Let's see how a newly ordained deacon brought this message in a very powerful way to the church, but also to those who were hearing his message. And this is, I'm speaking of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. In Acts 7, we'll begin in verse 30 and just pick up the story. And when 40 years had passed, this is now speaking of the life of Moses, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. The burning bush moment. When Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight, and as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not look. And then the Lord said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. And so this begins the story, and it's rehearsed here as the New Testament church is growing. This is part of the very powerful message given by Stephen. And he continued in verse 35. This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt, and in the Red Sea, and in the wilderness, 40 years. And so this story is rehearsed. And at the end of those 40 years is when Moses again wrote those Ten Commandments and told them this time to remember the Sabbath day, because they should remember that they were delivered by God from the land of Egypt, from that bondage. Brethren, we have also been brought out of that darkness. We've already seen that a couple times in the verses we read. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and we can see this again. And this verses from this chapter were also part of the first message today. It is really inspiring for me to see how sometimes God directs the messages to blend so well together. In Romans 8, verse 15, it says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. And see, it's beginning to take us right back to where we read in John 1, that those who believe and receive him have the right to become the children of God. And all the time, it's always directing us back to becoming his sons and daughters. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We're not brought into bondage again, but we're brought out of that bondage. The Spirit helps us to have a much closer relationship with God. And that's what he wanted with Israel, but even more so with us. And the bondage that we are released from, it takes greater miracles than the bondage of than Israel being released from its bondage. The mere opening of the Red Sea in comparison to the conversion of a mind, to bring a mind out of the darkness of this world and to understand the Word of God and have his Holy Spirit, that's awesome, awesome miracles. And we can see that God has redeemed us in this way, that Jesus Christ, our Creator, is also our Redeemer. He is the one who redeems us, and so we keep the Sabbath day to understand and to believe and to show that, to honor him for that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in 1 Peter 1 and verse 17, it says, and if you call on the Father, if you have a close relationship so you can pray to your Father in heaven, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, and it goes back to even before this world was created, to that time when God promised eternal life before time began, and Christ, who was our Passover lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. This was God's plan and purpose and intent all along, but was manifest in these last times to you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. And we have that hope. We have that faith in our Redeemer. In chapter 2, in verse 9 and 10, there are words here that are very similar to the words that God used when he described Israel coming out of Egypt. And I mention this because it ties in so closely with the wording of the commandment there in Deuteronomy 5. Look what it says, "But you are a chosen generation," as Israel was chosen to be a generation who would be brought out of bondage, so are we. "A royal priesthood," and they were to be a priesthood among the nations, "a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Brethren, these are just touching, just little touches here and there on the big subject of why we keep the Sabbath day, why we understand that God is our, that Christ is our Redeemer, because our Sabbath observance should include this element, to take the time every Sabbath day to remember what God and what Christ have done and are doing for us in our lives. So the first big point was looking back at creation. This one looks in the present. This one says, what is the reason today for us to keep the Sabbath day? Because God is bringing us into that marvelous light. There's also a third reason, and this one I think is particularly important to the young people among us and to the new people as people began to be convicted by God's word and by his spirit to understand and keep the Sabbath day. Sometimes it's a struggle. I know it was for me. There were times when I thought if only I could work on Saturday, I could have a much better job. If only I could work on Saturday, I could do this or that. You know, I'd make more money. I could go to games. I could go fishing on Saturday. You know, all of those things that cross our minds, and sometimes it's very intense trials. The Sabbath is a test. The Sabbath is something that we have to learn to diligently keep. But in Isaiah, it tells us this, and this is a challenge and a promise. In Isaiah 58, to me, this is one of the great reasons, and it's so very positive, for our young people to understand, for new people to know, that the Sabbath is to be kept. For what reason? This third reason comes up in these verses. Isaiah 58, verse 13. "If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath," that is from trampling on the Sabbath and for disrespecting God and not keeping that Sabbath day, "from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words." That's the challenge. If you will stop that, and then if you keep the Sabbath day in a right way, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. He will give us the blessings of the birthright promises of Jacob. He will give us the blessings of all that we need in this life. The mouth of the Lord has spoken this. It's a promise to us. And yes, it does take time. And sometimes it takes a long time before that lesson to be so well learned that God then knows we will keep it. We will honor his Sabbath day I could ask for a showing of hands among this group and say, have you ever lost a job or not received a job because you decided you would keep the Sabbath day? And I could raise my hand several times on that, and probably most of you as well. But God says if we keep it, if we find that we can call the Sabbath day a delight and honor Him, that He will take care of us. He will give to us, He will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. There are some promises to Jacob, and do us well to read and to believe and to see that. And I say to all of our young people, when you face these things, as you go out to school and to work, into your life, to know this, and these verses work, and these are one of the great reasons to keep the Sabbath day holy, because God promises that He will care for us. That was point three. Point four, and this one looks to the future. This is one of the great reasons that we keep the Sabbath day on the seventh day, and we find these words in Hebrews. I want to read a few verses and skip through chapter 1, chapter 2, and into chapter 4 in Hebrews. Not the whole chapter, but I want to show you some of the context here and how this section of Scripture ties in all of these elements of why we are to keep the Sabbath day holy. In Hebrews 1, begin in verse 1, here we see the creation. Here we see God's purpose being expressed again. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. And again, you see that creation. He is our Creator. He's the one that we honor when we keep the Sabbath day holy, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, when He had released us from bondage, that second point, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. We see that opening to this book, and it gives us the context of our Father and Jesus Christ at His right hand. And then look in chapter 2, verse 5 through 10. For He has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. And so now our focus is forward on the world to come. We've looked in the past, we've seen in the present, and now we're looking into the future. He has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, and here the words of David come out again, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. And here we have reference then back to that creation week and what God commissioned man and mankind to do. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Not yet. It implies, and more than implies, there is a future ahead. Something wonderful and grand and awesome and beautiful. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. All of these verses tie into those reasons given in Exodus and Deuteronomy about why we keep the Sabbath day. And then turn to chapter 4. Here in chapter 4, we see something that begins to unfold specifically about the seventh day. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, and chapter 3 speaks of those who had a promise, but they didn't believe and they didn't go forward into that land of promise, into that land of rest for them. But there remains a promise of entering his rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. The gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. The gospel of eternal life. The gospel of God's desire to have his own family through Jesus Christ. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. Stop and think of what we just read. We who believe, who have believed, we do enter that rest. And here we are today, brethren, entering that rest on the Sabbath day. There's a current context to this that I think we can see as we read. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And there's something yet to come too, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The purpose was set, all the physical creation was finished, but now the spiritual creation was underway. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day, not a day of the week, but of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And we just read that in Genesis. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. That's quoted from Psalm 95. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and to those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, he designates a certain day. Which day does he designate? Verse 4, it's the seventh day. Saying, and David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest. There remains, therefore, a keeping of the Sabbath, a sabbatismos. There remains for you and me the keeping of the Sabbath for the people of God, for us. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. And here we are today, having ceased from our works on the seventh day. And we see that. And brethren, this is the clearest instruction in the Bible, in the New Testament, about the Sabbath being pictured by a future rest, which we know to be the reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. We see that. It's something that helps us to look forward to what is yet to come, the world to come of which we speak. And the Sabbath day helps us to look forward to that. That's why we keep the Sabbath day holy, on the seventh day, as we're instructed. And verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. You know, sometimes I get questions from some, and they're sincere, and they deserve an answer. And they say, how do we know that Saturday is in fact the seventh day? I find it interesting because, you know, in this world, and I'm going to step out on a limb here and say a few words, in this world of religion, there's one religion among all the others that changed the Sabbath to Sunday, and that is the Catholic Church. They admit that, and many, many other churches understand that that's what happened. I have a book. I like to go to the most direct source I can when I'm looking for things. I have a book called Crossing the Threshold of Hope. And this was written by the late Pope John Paul II, 15 or so years ago. This, in his own words, was translated into many dozens of languages and was a bestseller around the world. And this book describes, in their own words, many of their beliefs. I just want to read from page 68 about which day is the Holy Sabbath. Because this book is where we go to. We keep the seventh day. What do other people who have the greatest resources for study and who set the tone for all the other Christian churches to follow, what do they say? And so on page 68 it says, and this is speaking in a paragraph about what happened on a Sunday morning when Christ had been resurrected and the disciples came to the tomb. And so this is what the Pope wrote. Then, the Sunday after the Holy Sabbath, it goes on then to speak about what the disciples were to do, to come and stand before that empty tomb. The Sunday after the Holy Sabbath. It's the clear evidence that even in our lifetime, just a few years ago when this was written, it was still understood that the seventh day is the Holy Sabbath, Sunday is the first day of the week. And for reasons of their own, they've changed things. And we, on the other hand, we keep the seventh day. So if we were to be asked, and we will be from time to time, why do we worship on Saturday instead of on Sunday? Then we can say, because on the seventh day, God created the heavens and the earth. And we look back at him as our creator. And we worship on the seventh day because it reminds us that we were redeemed out of the darkness of this world. As Israel was redeemed out of Egypt, we are redeemed out of the darkness of this world in our lifetime. And we keep the seventh day because we know that if we do, God will feed us with the heritage of Jacob, that he will honor those who honor him in this way. And we keep the seventh day Sabbath because on the seventh day that God said on that certain day, that was symbolic of us entering into the rest. There remains, therefore, a rest to the children of God, to the people of God. That's why we worship on the Sabbath, on the seventh day.